I forget pulling up to your house, and because you always back your truck in, you can see in the dash, and it's like just like your standard F-150, like older truck, and then you look in the car, and you see in the center of like, it's like propped up on a cup holder, it's just a frappe, and it's like, this does not belong in this truck at all, and you're like, yep, Dale's been here.
Hey everyone, D-Shack here from Successfully Unsigned. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your support. If you like this episode, share it with a friend so that you and them can have a great, healthy conversation about the music business. And tag us on Instagram or TikTok on the things you find interesting about the music business and any topics you would like to hear us tackle. Today, we're going to beg everybody on the face of the planet to just simply be a decent human being. Of course, if you've read the title of the episode, you'll realize this is all about Chapel Roan. If you've kept up at all with music industry news in the last few weeks, you'll know about what's going on with Chapel Roan. That being said, I had no idea till we filmed this podcast episode, where my co-host DJ Patty G brought it up and said we need to talk about this. However, that being said, if you want to see the things firsthand that we're talking about, you can check out a lot of this information on her social media platforms. What do you think of the situation? We'd love to hear your input and your thoughts as we discuss this topic today. As always, hit that subscribe, hit that like, and hit the bell here on YouTube, along with rating us on your favorite streaming platform and letting us know where you are listening from and on what platform you're listening from, along with what you would like to see next on Successfully Unsigned.
I just had to be extra.
I wonder if my head bobs on beat with it. No, I can't hear it.
Probably not.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the show, Successfully Unsigned. Thanks for joining us. We are back for another episode about fandom. Yes. You will relate to this episode heavily because you're fans of the show. So, it works.
And we touched some on this with Swift artists, a tiny, tiny bit, just talking about the Swiftie fandom, which I guess we also touched on last year for one of our seasons. But this is a very relevant topic because of Miss Chapel Roan, so we'll talk more about that. But I have a question. Did you add to your tattoo, or has there always been flowers on that?
There's always been flowers.
That many flowers?
Yeah. I just added one random flower.
I don't know. 2 years later. I just was looking at it and I was like, wait, I think I knew there were flowers on there. I guess I just didn't realize there was six.
Fake friend.
I've had a lot of people ask me today, like, is that new? I'm like, I've seen the same person for years.
And okay, they're like, I at least knew it was there.
Fake no, you knew it was there. Friend. But yeah, I do want to get more.
Yeah, it says you.
Don't you know that those six flowers are... what's the word I'm looking for? They're like, the word's not specific. The word is,
This is fun watching you do
this. Can't think of the word. What's the word? Like, they have significance.
Representative of John Mayer's six sexes.
Is it?
it might
Does
be.
Does he have six?
I don't know.
That should be, the number should be higher.
Oh.
It's like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I was about to say the six crazy exes.
Oh my goodness. They should remake that movie, but from the other side, like a girl being the one.
Okay. Like, from Ramona Flowers.
She has to fight.
People would love that.
Dudes, that would actually be dope.
Yeah, people would love that.
Well, before we get into the topic, subscribe to the channel, like the video, go follow us on Instagram at Successfully Unsigned, TikTok, Unsigned Podcast, website, su-podcast.com. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those things. Let us know what you're thinking. We want to hear from you. So without further ado, show and yell.
Also, actually, before we do that, sorry.
What's up?
I forgot to tell you. We have a Venmo now.
Yay! We have a Venmo. Yay!
So if you would like to donate to us, it is just at successfully_unsigned, just like the rest of our platforms other than TikTok.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was one other thing that we recently did that I was like, oh, we should tell them about that.
Hmm. As you can tell, we're really prepared here on the show. And we do that for you, the fans. But he's right. You should go show how true of a fan you are.
Yeah.
And give to us.
Even if it's just a dollar.
Even if it's a dollar. A dollar goes a long way, especially for Dale. So he's
Help
wanting...
him with his hair.
Yeah, he needs conditioner big time. So we're going to get him that with your dollar. That's where your money's going, just so you know.
I conditioned it last night. Thank you very much.
Did you?
It's actually quite like
it does soft, look fluffy. Silky. Yeah, it looks
very fluffy. Today.
Very fluffy. He looks like an Australian Shepherd now. Like he legit does.
You know what? I'll take that. I actually really like how like Australian Shepherds look.
Yeah, they're great. Really
beautiful dogs.
Yeah. They lead cattle, right? Isn't that what they do?
Dale is cattle. He was talking to the cows. We were in Oklahoma this past weekend.
I was not talking to the
talking
cows.
Talking to all the cows, communicating with them. Like they were really? His brother and
wow.
sisters.
What were they saying?
Cows are girls.
What were they saying, Dale?
They wanted some hay, but that wasn't... I wasn't talking to them. Hmm. Shut up.
And then you proceeded to eat a meat pie.
Oh, dude. The meat pie was so good.
Meat pie sounds like a cow pie. I know it's not.
It's not at all. It's
yeah,
like
I hope
amazing.
Not.
I love a good meat pie.
That's your next video, right? Your next meat video?
Maybe.
Is a meat pie?
You know, the one time I tried to make them was an abysmal failure. So,
I don't doubt it.
If I make a video about it, it will be a failure.
That's what we
most
want.
Most likely.
Hey, any publicity is good publicity.
And that is the motto of our show behind...
Yeah. Professional advice from unprofessionals. Good publicity or any publicity. What is it?
Is good publicity.
Is good publicity. There mm-hmm. it is. And I can't even say that word twice. So I'm having trouble saying that word and regularly today. I can't say that.
Regularly?
It's regularly. Is it regularly?
Or regularly.
Regularly.
Yeah. Lar, that, like.
I don't know. Lars? That's what I'm having issues
regularly.
With. Regularly. Lur.
Regularly.
Heard. Okay. So we can
regularly.
Also not talk on a podcast.
Regularly.
That's something I'm working on. but I guess we'll get to our show and yell. Who wants to go first? Dale?
Sure. I'll go first.
Is that a ping pong ball?
Wow, way to spoil
I'm
it.
I'm sorry.
Orange ping pong ball.
Yay! Oh, wow, I'm so shocked.
this particular orange ping pong ball I have had in my backpack for about 5 years now, if I'm actually thinking about it.
This being a forgotten item and was like, yeah. What's in my backpack?
You're right.
What means the most to me that's in my backpack
you
right
are
now?
Absolutely right. I thought of an item last night laying in bed, and I'm like, I'll pick it up on the way out my house, but I forgot. But that being said, this one does actually have a little bit of significance to me. This particular ping pong ball, like I said, I've had it for about 5 years. It stayed in my backpack since I moved to Tennessee. I transferred to Middle Tennessee State University, and that first semester there, I would hang out with a couple friends. On campus about once a week there was a room there that had a bunch of different games, pool tables, ping pong tables, you know, like Super Smash Bros, stuff like that. And I played ping pong about once a week.
I forgot we did that.
Patrick was one of those guys. There was another guy, Joel Bain, who was the one I probably played with the most. Him and I would go over there and play ping pong, like I said, once, twice a week, you know, just in
yeah,
and around
it was
classes.
Not very good, but... I started getting better, and then
you did
COVID
get
hit, and
yeah.
We never played again.
And then that was right before I met you. So, anyway, I've carried this ping pong ball longer than I've known you.
Nice.
Wow.
I think that makes me feel... I don't know how that makes me feel, but thank you.
There's you, and then there's ping pong ball when it comes to loyalty.
A dirty
so,
ball that's been in your backpack
yes.
comes before... Okay, cool.
Yes,
cool.
Yes, yes.
As long as we... as long as I'm understanding that correctly.
But here you go. Oh, and I hit the mic with it. Well,
again, it means a lot to him. That's why he brought it.
It's gone now. Forever. So sad. Oh, just kidding. It came back.
Oh, you want me to go next?
Sure.
Okay. Mine's a big item.
Oh, no.
M&M!
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I was like...
Oh, my goodness.
Slim Shady about to come out of nowhere.
M&M! So this
Sorry,
is the Dale. Yellow M&M, and my friend was on a Facebook group, and of the little town that him and Dale live in. We won't dox you. Anyway, but they follow it because there's like a lot of crazy stuff on that page.
Thank you for not mentioning my town name, especially considering today's topic. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we don't want all the crazy fans finding you.
I know, right?
Anyway, so he sent me a screenshot and someone was selling this in their town for $25. $25. Now, if you know anything about these little candy stands, like these used to be in gas stations, whatever, and you could pick out the... peanut M&Ms. If you know anything about those, these usually go for $150 up to $300. Wow. So $25 was a steal, and they threw in a little sun for me. Nice. For Christmas. So
is that for your
don't
son
talk to me or my son ever again?
Right.
Yeah. So I love M&Ms. I've always loved M&Ms. Like, I have like M&M blankets, and I have like all the little plushies. I am mad that they took the high heels off of the green M&M. What is wrong with y'all?
I didn't notice that.
So I want the rest of them, obviously, but they are pretty expensive. I did see some the other day that was like the whole collection except the yellow one, which I obviously already have. Mm-hmm. And it was for $100 for each one, which is a pretty good deal, actually. And they seem to be in decent shape, better shape than this one. He does need some TLC, as you can see. So I will one day get to that, probably in the next few years. But if I had the money, I would go and buy the rest of them. But I really can't even buy one other one right now. So thank you to our friend Caleb for grabbing this for me. He said that the owner was her son, her very young son, was really into M&Ms. And so they bought him a bunch of M&M stuff. They found this at a flea market, never got around to cleaning it. And so then her son has, and it's fine. Her son has since, don't say, like you don't aren't nasty. Her son has since grown out of the M&M phase, but I obviously have not. So it's now been passed down to me. So thank you to, the town that we will not say the name of.
Mm. You should get all the colors at some point.
That's really what I want to do. Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, if someone wants to, our new Venmo, someone send us $500 and I'm going to embezzle the money from our own podcast and buy the five other M&Ms.
Yeah, with your dollar.
Thank you. I am going to take him out of the screen probably. Maybe I'll put him here. No, there's not room.
Yeah.
He's really big. So
yeah,
enjoy one last look at him and say goodbye.
Okay, my turn. USA hat. This one actually it's kind of funny. My first trip to Colorado, I rented a car that was supposed to be just like a four-door sedan, and it was they were like, hey, do you want a convertible for the same price? And I was like, heck yeah, dude, I would love that. And so I got a little convertible. And it was a little Mazda, so I was feeling cool riding around in it. Of course, it was like beginning of October, so it was still great weather there. And so I decided, like, I'm going to go to Pikes Peak, which is 14,000 feet in the air. And so I'm driving in this convertible up this mountain, and like, you know, anyone would notice, it's getting cold. It's getting very cold, and I can't stop to put the convertible up. Or the top up. And so I'm literally in a tank top and shorts and sandals going up this mountain. I have a hoodie with me that I put on, but I'm still freezing up there. So I'm like, I need clothes. I couldn't even, like, once I got to the top, I couldn't even walk around and check out the view because I was freezing. It was so windy and cold. When I got up there, first started up the mountain, it was like 75 degrees. When I got to the top, it was 20 degrees up there. And so I was like, I need something. So I went in the gift shop and I bought the first ugliest hat I saw was this little USA hat. And, you know, it makes me look overly patriotic wherever I go, but it's honestly it's very comfortable. It's a very comfortable hat, and it just reminds me of a time that I was very unprepared. And so it has meaning to me for some reason. I've just always kept it around. Sometimes I don't have a beanie to wear. I just throw it on and, again, just look like I love my country, which I do love my country. But
it's election year. It's fitting.
Exactly. That's why we're – yeah.
Hey,
matter of fact, let's go.
Pokemon go to the polls. Am I right?
Oh, boy. Wow. That was a dad joke.
I love Pokemon. You don't know Pokemon Go to the polls? When Hillary, in 2016, when Pokemon Go got huge, Hillary Clinton was like, Pokemon Go to the polls to try and be relatable. It was the funniest thing. So funny. I want a 4th of July shirt that says that.
Yeah.
So I will be designing one and selling it because I have nothing else to do. So go buy my shirt.
You know, your story, David, reminds me a lot of one time I was going home here in Murfreesboro to my house in the unnamed town, which was like 20, 25, 30 minutes away.
What direction?
Down a certain highway outside of town.
South of Murfreesboro. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
I will not say. but I was in my old truck, right? Y'all have seen my old pickup truck. I got a 1993 F-150. And I was leaving church, and there was like this huge storm that had blown through, and there was like tornado sirens. A tornado hit the ground, like in Murfreesboro, kind of thing, right? So we all kind of stayed around. It monsoon rain, like it was just pouring rain, and so I stuck around in town, you know, trying. I was like, well, I'll wait it out for a little bit, and eventually I waited, and I was like, it ain't letting up. I'm like, I really want to go home, so I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I'm just gonna go home. So I start off down the road, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm hungry. I want some McDonald's.
Of course.
So I pull through McDonald's. It's pouring rain, but when I pull underneath, you know, they got those little, like those little rain guard things, you know, little roofs above the drive-thru. I'm courteous, and I turn my windshield wipers off, get my food, and I go on. And when I leave, my windshield wipers won't turn back on. I was like,
fitting.
Oh no. It is still a monsoon rain out here. And that morning, I found out that my defrost didn't work. So I had no defrost on the inside of the car, and I had no windshield wipers all of a sudden, all in the same day. And so I pull off into another parking lot, and I'm like, okay, this is rough. I can't see 10 feet in front of my car, even while driving like city speed limits.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I went ahead and ate my food, thinking, well, maybe by the time I eat my food, it'll let up. It didn't let up at all. So I'm like, well, I could sleep in my truck in MTSU's parking lot and then just go to class the next day, just out of my truck, or I drive home in this. And of course, I chose to drive home. So I'm going down the highway, you know, like 55, 60, 65 miles an hour, way faster than I should have been in this rain period, with my window rolled down and my head sticking out a window like a dog. Driving this truck because I couldn't see out my windshield. So I'm just getting like sandblasted from water.
Damn, that is awful.
So I drove the whole, you know, like 20 miles out of town with my head sticking out the window. And my face felt so like just raw at the end of that. I was just like, it was freezing cold like on my face because it was just like 60 mile an hour plus water plus.
Yeah.
And it just.
Disclaimer, do not drive like that.
Don't drive like this. No. It was also rough, too, because that truck's a standard. So anytime I had to shift, like, my feet were, like stretched out through like, the cab to get out and get my head out. It was a whole thing.
Did your neck hurt after?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My neck, my shoulders, my arms. Like, I was, like, a horribly uncomfortable position to hold for, like, those 20 miles.
Yeah. And then you couldn't, like, drink your frappe at all.
And then I couldn't drink my frappe. Yeah. I probably did have a frappe that night.
Yeah.
I know. So,
I'll never forget pulling up to your house, and because you always back your truck in.
Yeah.
See in the dash. And it's, like, just, like, your standard F-150, like, older truck. And then you look in the car, and you see in the center of like, it's like propped up on a cup holder. It's just a frappe. And it's like, this does not belong in this truck at all. And you're like, yep, Dale's been here. Sometimes you see remnants of Dale. You're like, frappe. Oh, check.
Yeah.
You know, very Australian Shepherd moment with that car, though.
Remnants of Dale.
Yeah. Remnants of Dale. Butter cookie. Is that a butter cookie? Dale's been here.
I do love some cookies and frappes, though, man.
Oof. At the same time?
No. Ew. Well, when I was younger,
it's like two desserts.
When I was younger, I probably would have. Now, no, not at all.
Yeah. I'm slowly starting to realize, this is random, but I'm slowly starting to realize that like pancakes for breakfast are like, it's a dessert for breakfast. Because maple syrup is just sugar. Like I ate a pancake for the first time in a while this weekend. And I'm like, oh my goodness. My stomach is, I'm like already full. I'm halfway through this pancake.
Have you gotten into those protein pancakes?
I've had one, yeah.
They're pretty
you
good.
Talk about full. It's,
yeah, oh those things are thick.
Yeah.
He was eating peanut M&Ms for breakfast earlier.
That oh, checks out.
Gummy M&Ms.
Gummy bears.
Sorry.
I mean, I've had worse breakfasts.
Still, I worry about you,
Dr. Pepper
dude.
With peanut M&Ms and gummy bears.
No, I don't do sodas for breakfast.
Yeah.
I've never done sodas for breakfast. But I would do Oreos
the other morning.
Okay, yeah, but that was a special occasion, and we weren't eating breakfast. We were just sitting on the porch.
Diet. Yeah.
Plus, like, we didn't have any coffee, so
okay, so caffeine.
We hadn't
gotcha.
Eaten anything that day. Though.
Plus, we needed to drink it because it needed to be gone.
Okay.
It was a glass bottle.
So
of
you didn't
want to
waste it.
It was a glass bottle. Of
it wasn't our last day, though.
Yes,
this
it was
like one of our first days.
No, it wasn't. I did not drink a soda on the first day sitting out there. Not in the morning. I drank a soda in the morning. I drank one at night sitting out there. But in the morning, the only day I had a soda was the last day.
You know when people like get that. Really thirsty in the middle of the night and they get up and they just chug water? For Dale, it's like Dr. Pepper. He gets up at 3 a.m. and he just starts chugging a 2-liter of Dr. Pepper. It's been there for a week.
You know.
It's like flat. There's not even like
you know,
fizz when he tips it over. I mean, am I yes or yes?
Okay. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yes, you're wrong.
I might be.
I'm just doing what you told me
but,
to do.
since 2020, when I had COVID, Dr. Pepper, instantly the taste changed for me. Like, it does not taste the same anymore. But I also have wondered, because, like, everything else has gone back to tasting, I think, the way it tasted prior to when I had COVID. Mm, I think.
That's a good point.
But Dr. Pepper still does not taste the same. Mm. So either... So I want to know... Did my taste buds for that one specific thing just change?
Mm-hmm. Got deleted.
Did it get deleted? Am I only tasting like 22 of the 23 bold flavors? Or did they change their recipe?
That, what if they changed their recipe to make people think that they like?
Because
had
I've talked.
Sensation changes.
I've talked to other people and they're like, Dr. Pepper doesn't taste the same as it used to. And even that glass bottle one, as good as it was, did not taste.
Agreed. It's been tasting different to me too. Now that you say that,
yeah,
it's a little more syrupy than I remember. Maybe it's not as syrupy for you.
I don't know. It's just I don't know. It's just different, and I don't. It's not as like strong of a flavor to me.
Yeah, of course you get it with no ice, which is what you know. You want the direct flavor. You want all the flavors immediately.
Yes, I do. I want to taste the boldness.
For me, I need a little water break in between each flavor, so I need some ice to melt in there for a minute.
I don't want it diluted. I want the pure nectar of Dr. Pepper.
Oh, well.
Well, on that note, if you're still listening from our Chronicles of Dr. Pepper, we will be right back talking all about fandoms and the parasocial relationships that they create.
Hey guys, what's up? It's DJ Patty G. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. If you want to go find more, go to our website, su-podcast.com. We have lots of cool playlists there, whether it be from artists that we've had on the show or with other independent artists from all over the world. Also, make sure to follow us at successfully_unsigned on all of our platforms, as well as Unsigned Podcast on TikTok. You guys will be our best friend if you go rate us 5 stars on all platforms. And if you like and subscribe this video, make sure to keep watching so you can see more of our shenanigans and other tomfoolery. Thanks, guys.
A very hot topic recently is parasocial relationships and fandoms, especially with the internet. We have more access to artists than ever before, to celebrities, period, you know. Most celebrities have a social media account, and those that don't are very, very smart, but they are usually older and usually either have a team behind them or they're kind of like an A-list actor, A-list musician who doesn't really need to have a social media presence. I would say it's probably more common for actors. Whereas for singers, I think, you know, social media, we've talked so much about social media and being an artist and that it kind of, you're now also an artist as well as a content creator. And it is just kind of the, whether you like it or not, name of the game. Go watch our episode on social media that we did somewhat recently. So a big name that has been being thrown around lately is Chappell Roan. Do y'all know who Chappell Roan is?
I do not.
I do not.
Okay. Do you know Hot to Go? H-O-T-T-O-G-O. You can take me high to go.
No.
No? Okay.
Sorry.
As you can see, these two are not on TikTok or anything. or probably just not my side. But she is this huge, huge artist that has been everywhere. Funnily enough, Missy Ecker was a very big fan of Chapel Roan and saw her last year, the year before, at the East Room or something. When like tickets were like $30, and now her she's coming back to Franklin. Tickets sold out immediately. She started opening for Olivia Rodrigo, so that's kind of how people started seeing her more and more than on TikTok. But she was doing music for she's been doing music for a long, long, long time. Troye Sivan and I want to say Connor Franta, but I could be getting that wrong. Troye Sivan used to be a YouTuber. Do you guys know who Troye Sivan is?
No.
He's a pop star. Anyway.
I trust you.
Yeah. He's a pop star, but he used to be really big on YouTube. And him and this other YouTuber were like, go listen to Kaylee's music. She's really, really good. And this was like in 2014 or something, maybe even before that. And flash forward to now, Chapel Roan is like the biggest name on the pop charts right now. So she just played at Lollapalooza and broke a record of the number of attendance of people at her shows. And that Hot to Go song I was talking about, she has like this dance to it where you do HOTTOGO. And you watch like this drone that was at Lollapalooza. It is just this flood of people doing that dance, and you're just seeing all these arms in unison. It's really, really cool. Like it was very like special to see just something like that. But Kesha was headlining Lollapalooza. She wasn't even the headliner, and she got more people at her show than Kesha.
Nice.
So she played Coachella, and so her videos from Coachella like started going viral on TikTok. That's where I really started seeing. I think I had heard some about her, and like the first time, no, I remember she did an NPR Tiny Desk concert, and she was in this crazy makeup. And Missy Ecker reposted her. I was like, huh, that artist looks really interesting. Maybe I'll go check that out. And then I just started seeing more and more and more about her. And then I saw a clip from Coachella and I was like, I need to go listen to this artist. So she has an album called The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. And
it's a good title.
It's a really good title. And yeah, she has really good titles for like a lot of her songs. One is called Feminine Nomenon, which is hard to say.
That's really good. Yeah.
But it's a really good title. Anyway, all that being said, she has skyrocketed to fandom. So she was like this little artist who has been releasing music for a long time, was dropped from her record label at one point, had to move back to the Midwest and get like was working at Duncan, and then was like, you know, I got to get serious about music again. And then, like I said, started opening for Olivia and has just gone up to where people are like, she's coming out of nowhere. Is she an industry plant? And it's like, no, she's actually been doing this for 10 years, which is the reality of most artists.
I was going to say, you know, it's slightly off topic there, but 10 years seems to be about the amount of time that a lot of people find their quote unquote big break once they've started working in it. When you get settled in, when you get worked and you have, you know, you get work under your belt and you've pushed and you get an idea of how to do things, but also like you're still keeping things fresh. It seems like, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, 28 is, you know, by age, around the age 28 is where a lot of people kind of see their first success. But if you track back, you know, where's 10 years before that? Right after high school, when they'd have the first opportunities to really actually try to push their craft. And so is 28 a magic number? No. But for a lot of people, that's kind of how, just because how our society works, that's about the 10-year mark for some people if they started right after high school. But
with the exception of everyone part of the 27 club.
Yeah. But another thing I found interesting is just today I heard a quote that said, you know, your big break looks a lot like work boots. And I'm like, you know, it's very rarely some like just giant, like, oh, out of nowhere are you going to just get a quote unquote big break. It's like you said, it's, you know, pounding after it, you know, year after year after year trying to do everything you can, and then all of a sudden you start getting recognition. You get that, you get those opportunities when, you know, you've put in the work to get there.
Yeah. I also think someone told me the Nashville 10. And so maybe, I don't know if it's particularly a Nashville thing, but I've noticed that a lot too. Like a lot of our artists that we've had on have been doing it for 10 years and they're kind of starting to gain some traction. So maybe it is kind of a universal thing, or maybe it's a little bit more of a specific thing for Nashville because it's so saturated. But either way, yeah, the point is, like we always say, you're in this for the long game if you really want to pursue this.
Yeah.
So just be ready for that. But all that being said, she's worked really hard. She has some great music. Like the second I listened to this album, the second Feminine Nomenon is the first song, and I was like, oh, this is really good. Like, you guys should check her out just purely for the fact that she's, a lot of people are calling her next Lady Gaga, you know, whatever. But she is in her own right, like making herself the next huge pop star. But that being said, she recently posted two videos on TikTok, basically being like, you know, people have been following me. People will just randomly come up to me when I'm out hanging out with friends. I am there to enjoy my time and hang out with friends. I am not there to... So her real name is Kaylee, but she goes by Chapel Roan, and that is her stage name, and that is like what she prefers to be called by fans, by people who don't know her. And so she's like, I am not Chapel Roan in that moment. So like, if I tell you no for a picture, respect me and leave me alone. But what is happening is she's being stalked. People are coming up. People are just grabbing her. People are just doing whatever, which we have seen this for years and years and years. Especially, like I said, kind of with the rise of social media, you see people going to people's houses, which also happened before social media. But I remember seeing a video where a whole bunch of fans, like a ton of fans, showed up to James Charles' house. And there's moms who are like, this is so disrespectful that he won't come out and take pictures with us. We're the ones who made him famous. And I'm like, you're a mother. You're well into your 40s or 50s. How dare you think it's okay to go to someone's private residence and demand that they take a picture with you and your daughter? Please seek therapy. So that being said, she basically was saying all that. And all the comments were, well, not all the comments. You kind of got half the comments are like, yes, people need to chill out. Why are they being so crazy? Like, respect people's privacy. And then the other half were saying, wow, you are so ungrateful for this these amazing opportunities that you've just recently gotten. You just started, you know, skyrocketing and you're already dissing your fans. You hate your fans. You're such an awful person. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. You owe your fans this. You owe your fans pictures. You owe your fans blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So this is a moment where someone could easily be like, I'm sorry, and post an apology video, or try and post a video that explains a little bit more. But Miss Chapel Roan doubled down, and I can't say how much I appreciate this. So she posted on Instagram, this was in August 23rd, so it's been a little bit. For the past 10 years, I've been going nonstop to build my project, and it's come to a point that I need to draw lines and set boundaries. I want to be an artist for a very, very long time. I've been in too many non-consensual physical and social interactions, and I just need to lay it out and remind you, women don't owe you anything. I chose this career path because I love music and art and honoring my inner child. I do not accept harassment of any kind because I chose this path, nor do I deserve it. And then she goes on, talks more about how, like, when she's on stage, that's different. I am at work. Any other circumstance, I am not in work mode. I am clocked out. I don't agree with the notion that I owe a mutual exchange of energy, time, or attention to people I do not know, do not trust, or who creep me out just because they're expressing admiration. Women do not owe you a reason why they don't want to be touched or talked to. This has nothing to do with the gratitude and love I feel for my community, for the people who respect my boundaries, and for the love I feel from every person who lifts me up and has stuck with me to help the project get to where it is now. I am specifically talking about predatory behavior disguised as superfan behavior that has become normalized because of the women who are well known have been treated in the past. Please do not assume you know a lot about someone's life, personality, and boundaries because you are familiar with them or their work online. If you're still asking, well, if you don't want this to happen, then why did you choose a career where you knew you wouldn't be comfortable with the outcome of success? Understand this. I embrace the success of the project, the love I feel, and the gratitude I have. What I do not accept are creepy people being touched and being followed. She then compares it to like getting catcalled just because of what you're wearing. It is the harasser's duty to be a decent person. Let me see. Please stop touching me. Please stop being weird to my family and friends. Please stop assuming things to me. There's always more to a story. I am scared and tired, and please don't call me Kaylee. I feel more love than I have ever in my life. I feel the most unsafe I have ever in my life. There's a part of myself that I saved just for the project and all of you. There's a part of myself that is just for me, and I don't want that taken away from me. Thank you for reading this. I appreciate your understanding and support. And then she posted in the actual caption, I turned off comments because I'm not looking for anyone's response. This isn't a group conversation. I understand that this is jarring to hear from a person in my position. I'm not afraid of the consequences for demanding respect. Just let you know every woman is feeling or has felt similar to what I'm experiencing. This isn't a new situation. If you see me as ungrateful for or my entire statement upsets you, that's you. You got to look inward and ask yourself, why am I so upset by this? That is all. Thank you for reading. So what do you guys think of that?
Dale, go first.
Man, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Starting with the idea that no one, no matter what station, no matter what social walk of life they are, no matter what, where they're from, what they do, occupation doesn't matter. You know, you shouldn't be stalking people. I think that's a pretty basic
rule of thumb, yeah.
Like rule of thumb that yeah. people should live by.
Most people should, you know, yeah.
There's an idea that we all should be attempting to follow in respecting others, respecting both personal space along with, you know, social boundaries. There's simple things, simple rules of life that everyone should understand. Not everyone does. But for whatever reason, and this kind of confuses me some, why sometimes it seems like there's two sets of rules, one for people that you know and interact with at a personal level mm-hmm. versus one for people who are launched into stardom. I don't know why that is a social phenomena, as so many people do that. Now, could it be that those people are ignoring those social boundaries already to people they know? That's entirely possible. And they just are seen more publicly because it is a more public figure?
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely possible. Or is it that for whatever reason we kind of forget common sense? And I'm not saying we specifically, I'm saying we as like a collective, whether it's you want to say society or just humankind, because you can see this across the world. You can go back in time to artists, you know, spanning the decades. You go back to Elvis and see, you know, how fans attacked him, or the Beatles, how fans like were fainting and following after and pushing past guards.
Boy bands and all these
boy bands and all these, you know, you had these teenage girls that were doing the same things.
Yeah,
it's a people issue. Yeah. It's a paparazzi thing. It's a horrible thing. Why, you know, we have to all take accountability for our own actions and respect people that we're around, whether it's people that we're here with in person, whether it's people that, you know, we're fans of.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't go stalking people. Don't be touching people that you don't know are okay with you touching them, you know? And that's most people, by the way. Most people, especially the ones you don't know, don't like that. Patrick quit. Snorlax is the boundary.
Wouldn't rely on Snorlax, but anyways,
I mean, he does block roads a lot.
He does. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Obviously, I agree with everything Dale said. Don't stalk. Don't be that person, because you know that's no good. I think most people should know that. Unfortunately, because it doesn't sound like her PR team was like behind, like statement. It was. It sounds like her, authentically, her, which is good. And I'm glad she put the statement out.
Yeah.
I just know that there are also some people out there who are going to double down on creeping on her now because she said something. And it's like, yes, you want it to stop, but I'm almost like, man, like, does it just displaying that it really bothers you give these people more power? Because I don't know. Like, I hope that's not the case. I really do. But I just know how persistent some of these creeps are from working in the service industry and like working with woman servers and stuff and seeing how persistent these guys, or it could be girls with guys, like I've seen that too. And so, you know, I hope that's not the case. What you were mentioning with like paparazzi era and stuff, I think this is another serious topic with social media, is because with Instagram and TikTok, you feel like you know the artist more personally.
Yeah.
Because, I saw that you were at that restaurant and like you feel like you know them because you follow them and it feels personal. It feels very intimate. And it's like, oh, I can comment on this and like I can interact with this person so easily. I can message this person, even though I know they'll never message me. They might. So it's like it gives them that hope. And it's for people who already have that predisposition of like creepy behavior or like are mentally just in a space that's not healthy, or maybe they have some kind of mental illness or something like that. That I feel like social media does not lend a strong hand to those people. And that's the unfortunate part about it with fandom, is like when you're interacting on social media, you're not able to kind of be the third part of like, how is this post making this person feel? Like you can't, like someone, you could intend to post one way and someone could take it a completely different way. And so it's so unfortunate that we're in that era. And I hope that that starts to get better, but it doesn't seem like it will. I know in the paparazzi era, it was like people, it was the mystery that got people that way. It's like they, all they saw was like the boy band, in a concert or like on TV in a commercial, and it's like, oh, like they're they can kind of be led to believe that this group or this singer is this image from a PR team or whatever. But like sometimes on social media you get authentic reactions from an artist, and so you're like, oh, they make mistakes too, they're just like me, which can be good in a way to relate to them, but on the creepy side of things, it can it kind of have the opposite effect, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm glad she put the statement out. I hope that that alleviates the situation. But again, I also know how persistent these people are, unfortunately. You
know, one thing to point out is if you're in that position where you're finding yourself, or maybe someone you know finds themselves feeling like they're so close to this artist that they've never met, that they've never talked with. One, take a second and think about, you know, the interactions that you have had or haven't had, whether it's one way or both ways. But two, you know, I think we sometimes forget that most of those big artists probably aren't the ones managing their social media. That's going to be a team of people. Even if you do message that person, that person is probably never going to see or ever read it. It's going to go through a team of people managing their Instagram and their TikTok before it ever reaches them. Some of them are going to manage their own, but a lot of them aren't.
Literally, just real quick, a side note. This was a couple of years ago. There was this artist on Instagram who like had not a huge following, but a little bit of a following. And I like messaged them and I was like, hey, love your stuff. Think it's great or whatever. And then all of a sudden it like auto-generates this like the person's number, like the artist's number. And it's like, shoot me a text or whatever, or whatever.
That's funny.
And I was like, I wonder what happens if I do this. And it's like, I sent a text and it was like, it charges you to like text them.
Oh.
And so it's like a subscription so you can text this artist. And it's probably not even her. It's probably just like her PR team or whatever.
Wow.
And so like, that's smart. Obviously didn't subscribe, crazy. But I thought it was hilarious how it's like people will go to that link. They'll be like, oh, when, how can I spend time with the artist? It's like, let me text her PR team and
wait,
see
can
if
we
that...
start doing that, charging people to text us?
Yeah.
You got to pay me 5 cents for every text you send me, Patrick. Actually, you got to pay me 5 cents for every reel that you send me.
I was going to say, I'm like, I don't text you that much.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't really send you that many reels anymore.
Not anymore, yeah.
So... yeah, I agree with everything y'all are saying. I am so glad she doubled down, because when I saw the videos, I was like, yeah, I mean, this is obvious. And then I actually started seeing commentary on it first, and I was like, what are people talking about? Like, what did she post? So I went to her page and I saw the videos, and I'm like, I saw the comments were turned off, and I was like, what do people have a problem with? That she doesn't want to be touched, that she doesn't want pictures all the time? And I, you know, a lot of artists have commented on this, and it's one of those things where it's like, it's so hard, because like, you get excited when you see a famous person. I mean, like, we're out in Nashville, so like, there's a high possibility of you seeing someone famous. Or David, you work in the service industry, like, you know, there's always like that high possibility. And so it's like, okay, like, you get excited and part of you wants to just talk to them, and of course, like, you want the picture for Instagram or whatever it might be. And it's difficult, because on the one hand, I don't think it's wrong to ask for a picture because you see a celebrity out. Now, where it gets wrong is when you demand a picture, or when you start just filming them or whatever without even asking them. Taking a picture while you like see them from afar. I did that once to Chloe Lukasiak at the zoo, which is a member of the Dance Moms. But that being said, it was very, very far away.
Yeah.
So, and I was in high school, okay? But anyway, sorry, Chloe. I'm sorry, Chloe, okay? But that being said, that's one thing. I think it's like specifically when you're like, Hey Chapel, like, up in their face, is when it's like, okay, you're literally disrespecting my personal boundaries.
Yeah.
And if you come up to an artist and say, hey, can I get a picture? And they tell you, no, not right now, because they are not in makeup, or they are on a plane, so they just are like in their lazy clothes and they don't want that picture, then just say, okay, well, I appreciate your work. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you. The end.
Yeah, that's all they want, like, man. Like, I've never been the type to, like, I just can't find it in me to get, like, that excited. Like,
yeah.
I just think it's more, like, cool. Like, oh, this person's here. Like, yeah. Cool. Like, the other day I met some guy, like, recognized him, and I couldn't put my finger on it. He was, like, one of the main characters in one of the 24 seasons that I watched. And it was, like, I mean, that was filmed, like, years ago. And I was, like, dude, you look just like this dude. And he's like, yeah. And he named the character. And I was like, are you him? And he's like, yeah, I'm him. And I'm like, whoa. It was more like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, just they just want to be treated like a human. Just be a decent human being. Like, how would you want to be treated? Like,
well, and I've even seen people who, like, will dress up like another celebrity. And then people, like, I just literally just saw someone who looks so much like Olivia Rodrigo, or like Ariana Grande is a huge one, because she has like very easy makeup to mimic, and people will like come up and take pictures with them, and the people will be like, well, it's not actually me, and they're like, oh, I don't care. And so, like, sometimes you, like, here's the thing, you can tell when people are genuine and when they're not. So that goes for celebrities too. Like, they can tell when you're genuine and when you're not. And so the amount of times where people will be like, oh, yeah, I had no idea who this person was, but I saw everyone else going up to them and taking pictures, so I went up and got a picture with them because I wanted to be like, look who I met. Well, if you don't know who that person is or care who that person is, leave them alone. It's just so interesting. And, like, I don't know, like you said, obviously with the Beatles, Elvis, like, it was a crazy thing back then, but now, like, everyone has an iPhone. Everyone has something that they can quickly take a picture with. Everyone has so much access to everything about this person. Wikipedia page, wiki, like, fandom pages, fandom Twitter accounts. They're the celebrity's Twitter account, Instagram account, whatever. Like, there's so much access to this person, but at the end of the day, you really don't know anything about them.
Yeah, like, understand that when you're looking at a person's Instagram or whatever, 98% of that is fake. Like,
yeah,
it's not real.
Even so, it's about probably 2% of their life.
In reality, they're not truly, they could be having fun on tour, but I guarantee you, in that, like, you know, 2 hours that they are in that, rather, well, 2 hours is how long the concert is. The time that they're not doing the concert for you, they're tired, they're hungry, they're frustrated, they're sad, just like you. They have emotions just like you. And I think people get shocked when artists, like, get mean sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, out at public. I've seen, you know, again, working in the service industry, people, like, country music stars will come to the bar and it's, oh, there goes that. Country music stars come to the bar and people just don't know how to behave. They're just like, blah, blah, and the people have to get mean with them. And then, you mm-hmm. know what that person's going to go tell their friends? Like, this person's a, you know, they're a jerk.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, you were being that. And yep. so they had to be, like, people confuse, like, rudeness with, like, not, with, like, standing up for themselves.
Yep.
Like, it, and yep. it's, it kills me. But you're absolutely right. It's just this iPhone, we have access to so much information on artists and all right, you pair that with people who already don't know how to behave, and it's just not a good equation for yeah. success.
Yeah, I also love that she turned off the comments, and she was like, this isn't a conversation, by the way. This is me stating my boundaries, and you are going to respect them. And if you're questioning why I would say this, then you're part of the problem. And I'm like, period, period. Like, it's just so accurate. Like, she is saying what every celebrity has felt. I know it. And going back to the paparazzi thing, it's so accurate. So many people have compared this to Britney, Lindsay, Amy Winehouse, how the media has treated, especially mm-hmm. in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Britney is like the prime example. And we are still learning our lesson from that years and years later of like, look how horribly she was treated, where it caused her. I mean, there was a lot of factors that went into that, but Lindsay too. Lindsay moved to Dubai because paparazzi is illegal there.
Yeah.
And this all goes back to Perez Hilton. I said it in the same spot last year, Perez Hilton, shame on you for the early 2000s and everything you did. But it's just coming back around, just in a different way, and unfortunately almost in a bigger way, because paparazzi was more of a specific job, and now it's just kind of anyone and everyone who everyone has an iPhone.
Yeah.
So I agree with everything Chapel said, and you guys let us know what you think, unless you think that she's wrong. If you don't have a constructive point on it, then like she said, this isn't a group conversation, you're wrong.
We'll be right back.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We are back for another segment. Continuing our discussion, before we do our final segment, the Spottle game, which we have come to love so dearly on the show. I wanted to touch on, have you guys seen the Amy Winehouse documentary?
No, but I have heard it's very, very good. And I listened to a yeah. podcast recently on Amy Winehouse and learned a lot more about her story.
Yeah. And it's like, so I had kind of had an idea, had an image about, you know, who Amy Winehouse was, what happened with her, and the drug issues and all of that. And I know she was very open about that with her music and everything. Mm-hmm. What I was surprised to learn is, like, the time before all that, like, how she was, like, how talented she was. She was, like, mm-hmm. a jazz singer, before she kind of got propelled into her.
She said, I think she said like she never even really, or it seemed like she didn't even really care to be as famous as she was. She was obviously grateful for it and like grateful for the Grammy and everything, but like she was kind of like, I would have been happy just kind of staying around town and singing jazz.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like some people are cut out for fame. Like they're built for it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people on the artist side of things may not know how to handle fame the right way. Maybe criticism the right way. Maybe those creepy interactions wouldn't be handled the right way. I know there's this video, if you guys want to go watch it, it's really funny. Mark McGrath, like, was coming out of this bar one night, and this like little kid, or he's like a 16-year-old kid. Him and Mark McGrath were going back and forth in like this parking lot, just arguing with each other. And you know, it was because Mark McGrath like responded. This kid said not Sugar Ray, said something else.
I know that video. Yes.
He's like, who said that? Starts arguing with this kid. It's hilarious.
I saw that video recently. Yeah.
But it's also, you know, it's an example of like maybe not how not to interact. Like, because you don't want to feed into that too much. Because again, people, like, we live in a culture of like outrage culture, like where you see thumbnails to videos on YouTube, you're like, no way. And then you watch it and it's not that. Or you see titles to articles that you think are something and you go to it and it's not that. Mm-hmm. Like I saw that today. I saw one that was like, Saturn's rings might disappear in the next few days. And I'm like, what? And I went to it and it was like, yeah, they will for a little bit, but they'll be back. And I'm like, I thought they were going to be gone forever. I was bored at work today, just so you know. But yeah, like going back to that Amy Winehouse doc, I think she was a case of somebody who just the fame and the paparazzi and the expectations and just the stress of it all, like, was either very mismanaged by her team or she was just not in a position in her life to like be able to deal with that. And now, especially these artists that are getting popular and famous so young now, you worry about that and you worry about,
I mean, yeah, look at child stars. Yeah, like just general,
it's something you're like, wow, like, do you remember what you were like when you were 18 and like imagine just having that broadcast everywhere and suddenly your Facebook memories from 2007 of I think I should eat bread now, or it's like, you know, someone's using it as a caption and it's like viral 10 years later, or something you said that you maybe shouldn't have said when you were 15 now suddenly is resurfaced. It's like people, it's just so, whenever those controversies happen and like outrage culture happens or whatever, cancel culture, whatever you want to call it, it's just always interesting to me to see how the artist reacts to it. And like, I just don't know. Like, it's one of those things where you just have to, like, it's, everyone's so different. And it really does depend on who you have working for you. Cause sometimes they handle it beautifully and they're able to spin it or whatever. And then there are other times where it's like, it just not handled well.
Well, and that goes back. Well, what was the documentary just called? Amy, was, because that's
I believe so.
Yeah, it's
I
like a bunch of old videos of
it's
her.
It's old and videos like, of her. Yeah, and it like shows some videos of her recording Back to Black. Mm-hmm. And like that album.
Yeah, and that goes back to like I listen to a podcast on it. You're Wrong About is a really great podcast about learning about a lot of these kinds of cases. They did a great one on Anna Nicole Smith, Tanya Harding, Monica Lewinsky, a whole bunch of kind of maligned women is what they call it.
Yeah.
But yeah, for Amy Winehouse, like, I know her dad was a really big, I don't know if he was officially part of her team, but like a really big influence on her. And part of the reason that she got so involved in like heavy drug use, I think, was the man that she was with. Mm-hmm. And Back to Black is like her mourning basically the breakup of that and desiring to go back with him despite him being a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally them trying to get her to go to rehab and she finally like accepted it. And then they're like, no, you really need to actually work on this record. And so Back to Black was made, which is an incredible record. Like, obviously won a Grammy and is huge in the music world. Like, everyone knows Back to Black. But that being said, it was kind of at the cost of drug addiction, which eventually led to her death.
I mean, that video of her at that performance, mm-hmm. where she was so messed up that she couldn't even
mm-hmm.
perform.
Yep.
Like, imagine getting to a place like that in your life, and it's like broadcasted everywhere for mm-hmm. everyone to see, and it's like, it's got to be that much worse.
Yeah.
You know, to
100%. You know,
that also goes to show, too, as an artist, as a human being, as a, you know, whatever you are that you do, be careful who you surround yourself with, too,
yes.
because the people around you are going to influence you just like yes. you'll influence them.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that goes for who your family is, too. Once again, Britney Spears is a huge one, like the way her parents treated her, and like I said, Amy Winehouse's dad. And unfortunately, not everyone has the privilege of like a strong family support. And if you don't have that as an artist, find a way to deal with that. Not yeah. saying it's easy, but find a way to deal with that. And like, if you find yourself in a position where you're now getting a lot of traction or you're starting to skyrocket, finding ways how to navigate that, and therapists and all different kinds of things.
You just have to decipher who's real and who's fake, right?
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start to pick up steam, you're going to get friends
yeah.
that you yep. don't know you're actually your friends.
Yep.
And so when things happen, artists do fall back on that home base
yeah.
of like my family, my friends that knew me in middle school and high school. And like, it's important to have those and hang
yeah.
on to those people. And unfortunately, some of those people sometimes will be somebody they're not or whatever.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think artists should rely on that. That's why it's so important to have that strong
family. And that is hard to see, like, when you're that young, too,
yeah.
especially.
Very hard to see.
You've got to make sure that the people around you, or that you surround yourself with people who are willing to give you good advice. And whether it's something you necessarily like to hear or not is irrelevant. It's not about what's mm-hmm. pleasing advice. What matters is what is good advice. Because in those scenarios, you're going to get a lot of advice that is probably not going to be good, but it's going to sound great. And it's like, oh, I should do this because that's going to look good to the people. It's going to, you know, it's very public kind of thing, but it might be a very poor choice for you in your own personal life, because that's more, honestly, that's more important than your musical success, is that you as a person are okay. Because you can't survive off of, you know, social and financial success if your own life falls to shambles. If your own
no.
self, your whether it's your physical, your mental, your emotional health, whatever that looks like, you have to take care of that. And making sure that you have people around you that will give you good advice is important, whether that's, if you're young, in the form of a mentor, finding somebody
mm-hmm.
that you respect, that is doing maybe what you want to do or has some idea of doing what you want to do, but is also willing to say, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't be around those people. They seem fun right now. They seem like good people right now, but they're not who you need to be around because they're going to lead you here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
snake in the grass.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't date that person. Maybe they're an okay person, but they're not a good fit for you. Or maybe they seem like a good person, but they're going to lead you down a path where you end up so strung out you can't perform your concert. You know, just because you like someone doesn't mean that they're good for you to be around. And that goes for both business-wise in music and just as a person. You've got to be careful who you surround yourself with.
Yeah. And all this to say, give the artists a break, guys.
Yeah.
Like, don't be creeps. Like,
yeah.
you understand they're people, too. They make mistakes. They're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They're not who you see in their social media accounts. So
yeah.
just be normal human beings.
Yeah.
Not specifically our fans. Our fans would never do that. And thank you, by the way, and subscribe to the channel and do all the things. Donate to us as well. But, yeah, I think we've hit the nail on the head on this
yeah.
one. And just,
I do want to say one more thing, what you were saying about like some people just aren't cut out for it. That's the other thing. Like, Chapel Roan has, like, this happened very, very, very quickly for her, like within less than a year,
mm-hmm.
despite she's been working so hard on it. And like, I think it is kind of breaking her down some. And like, she is very young. I think she's around, I don't know, 25, maybe a little bit younger, probably younger actually. And like, she's literally from the Midwest. Like, she's not a Nepo baby or something. Not that Nepo babies don't also struggle with the price of fame as well. But yeah, I definitely think that's a very valid point in her situation. Like, it just might be something that and that's something you just got to take into consideration as an artist. But yes, give the artist a break. It's tough out here enough to be an artist, so leave them be.
Well, speaking of artists, what's our first guess for Spottle, guys?
I say let's guess Chaperone.
You know, as we're taking these guesses, before I mean, I didn't know anything about the Chaperone thing. I've seen her name thrown around recently just because, you know, there's been articles or whatever, but I hadn't read any of them, or I'm not even sure if I read the full headline. But every time I read her name, I thought it was Chappelle, so I thought they were talking about Dave Chappelle.
Mm.
Like, then I'm like...
Sounds like Charlize Theron to me, the actress or whatever.
Charlize Theron?
I forget.
I don't know how it's pronounced.
Chapel, I want to say, is her grandpa's name or something. I don't know. I forget it. You can look it up.
Anyways.
Okay.
Let's go.
So the only thing that was right about that is it is someone who's a solo artist in the U.S., but their debut is lower than 2023, which she's been music for a lot longer than that, but okay. Not pop.
Maybe that was her label and debut.
Male.
Not pop, male.
Not pop, male.
Younger.
U.S.
U.S. Just do the Killers.
It's solo.
Oh, it's solo.
Brandon Flowers, then. If we're going to go with the Killers. Brandon Flowers. He was their lead singer. He also had a solo career.
No, on here. Nope.
Wow.
Just do John Mayer. Sorry, Swifties.
In honor of your new tattoo.
Yeah, the one I just got today.
Okay, so
their debut
is close to 1999, but it's a little bit higher, so early 2000s.
Early 2000s, male.
Solo male, U.S., not pop. They consider Jean Mayer pop.
Okay.
1999.
You tried Jay-Z?
He's 96, but it is hip-hop.
Okay.
And popularity is close to 61, less than 61, though.
So who was the hip-hop artist
that... Usher? Usher had My Way in, like, 2000.
94.
Neo?
Yeah, Usher was 94.
Wait, My Way. Oh, wait, that was...
Or they'll probably consider Neo R&B rather than hip-hop, R&B. So...
And they consider Usher R&B.
Oh, hip-hop, okay.
Hip-hop artist, early thousands. Fairly... popular.
Eminem.
Yeah.
And he was 90s.
Oh, he was with
99.
Yeah.
He was in 99?
Yeah.
Okay. Because he was before that, he was in that band.
Yeah.
My guess is we've already used a lot.
Yeah. I think four.
Who
was hip hop in the early 2000s?
All the ones I'm thinking of were like late 90s.
Not with Snoop Dogg in
the 90s? Yeah.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg was way before early 2000s.
Nelly?
Yeah, he was actually. Was Nelly? Yeah, that's a good guess. He probably isn't.
It's 2000.
They consider.
Okay,
him.
It's higher than 2000. So.
Okay.
2001, 2002, maybe.
Justin Timberlake. I've already guessed that, and I think that was 2000.
Akon?
Lower than 2005.
Okay, so between 2000 and 2005.
Okay, so the popularity is somewhere between 61 and 113. Not that that's super helpful, but... So, yeah, higher than...
Pretty popular, then.
Somewhere between...
Give us the reference points. Who's 61 and who's 100, whatever.
Akon is 113.
Okay.
Jay-Z is 61.
So somewhere between them.
T-Pain,
yeah. That's a good guess.
He's 489. Oh, and he's also R&B.
What?
I don't know if I would say T-Pain's R&B, but okay.
We have one guess. Dang. Are we this bad?
Yeah, this one's rough.
Lil Jon? I don't know.
No! Don't guess Lil Jon. Do we already guess Eminem? Eminem's way earlier. Hip-hop.
Somewhere between 2001 and 2004. Lil Wayne.
That's not a bad guess. Unless he's 90s.
He's 99.
99?
50 Cent.
I was going to get. Oh,
I thought
my,
he was 90,
was
literally my next guess. I thought of 50 Cent several times. Like,
that's why I thought of Simple Plan last week. I was like, no, Simple Plan was 90s.
I thought 50 was 90s. Because I thought of him several times during this, but I'm like, no. Nah,
but maybe it's
90s.
The same case like you're 90s. Saying with like Chapel Round, I guess their like debut record or album or something.
Their like label debut, maybe?
Yeah, maybe so.
Before I said.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
We had many guesses and the many men were wrong.
Did you get it right, fans? Probably. Did you get it right? Successors.
We did really well the first time and then it's been downhill ever since.
No, we got it. We got it. It was there. I mean, it was there. It just didn't come out. But anyways, let's go ahead and plug everything and get on out of here.
Please don't stalk us. Yeah. But if you want to stalk us, you can find us at successfully_unsigned on all platforms, including now Venmo, if you would like to donate. Any amount would help. And you can find us at Unsigned Podcast on TikTok. Please follow, like, subscribe on YouTube. That will be really helpful to us. We've been stuck at 1,200 subscribers, so let's get it to 13. Hey.
Hey.
And SU-podcast for all other exclusive content. We got playlists on there. We got all kinds of things on there. Pictures, bios, and we got some fun interviews coming up for y'all. So stay tuned. Anything else?
Come find us and take pictures with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to Doc Stale in 3, 2, 1. He lives in...